The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Two stories today to share, both coming from nursing homes. One story happened 10 years ago, one happened 2 days ago. In seminary formation, each year the seminarian is assigned an apostolate or an assignment that he would go to weekly to gain experience in ministry, whether it be a school, a hospital, or a parish, each subsequent year, a different aspect of church life. 1 year in seminary, I was assigned to St. Martin Home, an elderly care facility run by the Little Sisters of the Poor in Baltimore. I would go every Saturday. My task changed each week. Sometimes it was just visiting with residents in their rooms. Sometimes it was cleaning their rooms. And sometimes, as it was on one particular Saturday, was feeding the residents that did not have the ability to feed themselves. Later in that day, after feeding several of the residents, one of the sisters walked up to me and said, "How's Father today?" And I said, "Oh, sister, I'm just a seminarian. I'm not a priest yet." She said, "I know. The resident you were feeding, that's a priest. I had no idea." She said, "Did you try to talk to him?" And I said, "It seemed like he wasn't able to speak much." And she said, "Keep trying." Later that afternoon, I sat down with him, and only occasionally were there brief spurts of words that made sense. He struggled and struggled and finally had a couple sentences to say, and he would have to regroup for another minute before the next words came out. In the end, I learned that the priest was working on his doctoral dissertation in the early 1960s while the Second Vatican Council was going on in Rome. And he witnessed so many things, so many theological discussions, and even served for Pope Paul VI at one point. You see, I didn't expect much from this 88-year-old man. I didn't think there would be much that I could relate to. But had I not dug in a little bit, I would have missed a treasure. I think of that story today as we celebrate All Saints' Day, a day which all Catholics at least intellectually know. The saints are a part of our Catholic tradition. We, after all, say even in the Creed, "I believe in the communion of the saints." Those who gone before us that lived worthy lives of God's grace and are spending eternity with God in heaven. I think we all know that. But more than a few of us hear about saints and think, well, there's not much to relate to. They're in a different generation. My life is so different than theirs. But I think if we have that mindset about the saints, we too will have missed a treasure, a a treasure chest that spans 2,000 years. Some of us might think, well, a 4th century woman from Algeria probably doesn't have much to offer me, but when we dig in the writings of St. Augustine of Hippo, when he writes about the perseverance and faithfulness of his mother, St. Monica, we realize there are plenty of mothers that can glean wisdom from that great saint. At face value, it would be hard to relate to a 16th century cloistered Carmelite priest. But when we read the writings of St. John of the Cross about union with Christ that he so longed for, and how to deal with the darkness of not having consolation in prayer or being rejected by his own religious order, we find that each of us go through our own darknesses and he can point a light in the right direction. It might seem boring to learn about a 16th century lawyer from England, but when we read the heroic courage of St. Thomas More, especially seeing in light of our own struggles with religious liberty, he can be a hero to each one of us. How could a girl that died at age 12 inspire me at all from the 1800s? When we hear the details of St. Maria Goretti's martyrdom, we can't help but desire the same purity of heart that she had. When we dig in a little bit, we realize we share a common humanity with them. A humanity that is wounded by original sin, but a humanity that yearns for God in union with Him. We see a commonality of each one of them that were captivated by Christ, who allowed their lives to be transformed by Christ, consumed by Him, conformed to Him. We see that each one of their lives had the attitude of the gospel today, the Beatitudes. But it's so hard to understand the Beatitudes unless it's lived and enfleshed, and that's what the saints did. But a couple cautions for each one of us. I think, first of all, it's very helpful to every day read the quick biography of the saint of the day. The church offers them all throughout the year. And each one will give a different witness to a life in union with Christ. But we can't reduce them to mere caricatures. And I think you know what I mean. We can't reduce St. Patrick just to three-leaf clovers, corned beef and cabbage, and green beer. All of those things are good. But when you read his confessions, his account of his ministry in the Emerald Isle, you will not find another account of zeal for souls more profound than St. Patrick. We cannot reduce St. Francis to mere bird baths and dog blessings. Both are good. But when you read his exhortations and letters to his fellow Franciscan brothers about his devotion and care to the Eucharist, you will be inspired and change your behavior at Mass. We also have to reserve our idea or put aside our idea that if we want to be a saint, we must become a priest or religious. Let's have no doubt many priests and religious have become saints, and many of them are my heroes. But there are plenty of married saints, single saints, saints who lived in the secular world and transformed it by their sanctity. There are all types, and we need them. But even those lay saints, the married saints, the single saints, they had priests and religious that formed them and inspired them. Even in their lives, the priests and religious were essential. I bring that topic up this morning because I've been told this is National Vocations Awareness Week, whereby we get to point to the importance, the essential importance of priests and religious in our Catholic Church. I've only been here 2 months, but I know our parish is filled with wonderful, wonderful families, and there is no reason that our parish should not be raising up priests and religious on a regular basis. I hope that doesn't strike fear into the hearts of parents. I don't want anything except what God wants. And I know God wants young people to dedicate their whole lives, their whole existence, their every breath to Christ. It is an honor to have a son or daughter called by God to be consecrated and set apart for Him. I will admit my own parents had many, many questions when I began to reveal to them that I think the Lord is calling me to the priesthood. But I think if you would ask them today, they are very, very pleased and honored that the Lord had asked one of their children. My challenge to each parent that has a child under 20 this week to have a conversation, even if they're dating someone, even if you think it's off their radar, go ahead and have the conversation and say, what qualities make a great priest? What qualities make a great religious sister? Who would be called to such a thing? What must we do as a Catholic Church to encourage more young people to think of it? Have those conversations, and hopefully they will bear fruit in the long term. At the beginning of the homily, I promised you two stories about nursing homes. One happened just 2 days ago. I was called in the middle of the day to an assisted care facility in the area for an emergency anointing. Someone was failing and on their deathbed. This is not an uncommon experience for a priest, but in this case, I walked into the facility and they required a negative COVID test for entrance. And so while I was waiting in the lobby for my rapid results to return to me, negative, I had a conversation with a couple of the nurses in the front lobby. We lamented that during this pandemic, it has severely limited visitors to nursing homes, and probably for good reason. But they even admitted before COVID, numbers of visitors had declined and declined and declined. We reminisced, both of us, about our own childhood. My parents were faithful in taking us kids from our infancy to nursing homes almost every Sunday at some points. I had two great-grandmothers in nursing homes. We had old farming neighbors and even landlords in various facilities, and we would make our rounds. It was quite a comfortable place for me, and we lamented, me and the nurse, that so many young people aren't comfortable in those settings. The point of that story is twofold. Number one, hopefully when this pandemic ends, we as a parish and each individual family can commit to accompanying those elderly in those final stages of life and gleaning wisdom from them. But the second point of the story is the analogous point. Just like we don't spend enough time with the generations that have gone before us and glean their wisdom, too many saints, too many Catholics are not spending enough time visiting the saints. And we're not leading our young people to be comfortable learning about those lives of the saints. And we not only have access to their biographies and spiritual writings, we as Catholics have access to their friendship and their intercession. Time with the saints in prayer and in study remind us that we were made to be saints. That's why we're on this earth. Their holiness will increase our thirst for our holiness. Their example will inspire us. Their wisdom will guide our steps all the way to face-to-face with our Creator, which all of us share that one desire.